Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 24th day of June. And Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, too.
Oh, good start.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got to go outside where the air conditioning isn't.
You know, you're making me
80
think.
Degrees already this morning.
Yeah, almost 80, yeah. And it's going to be 93 today. Of course, going to be warm.
Heat index will be over 100, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yesterday, I tell you what, until that little cloud cover come through Elkton, it kind of cooled it down just a little bit, but gosh, it was hot.
Yeah, we just came back. We had an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., my wife and I, for a conference that put on through American Family Association. Mm-hmm. And it was the evidence all through the history of our country, mm-hmm. of the hand of God and the hand of what they call divine providence, which they meant God, mm-hmm. and the basis of the Bible in the founding of our country and our documents and our founding fathers. Mm-hmm. Went to a lot of historic places, and of course we didn't realize that if we were going to the Capitol building and the Supreme Court building, that it was going to be June 19th, which is Juneteenth, which suddenly is a federal holiday now.
That's
true. So a lot of things were, Congress was not in session, so we didn't get to see those guys at work.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still plenty to see. And we got the Supreme Court building, and of course they were closed up, and they're also doing, renovation or some cosmetic type work on the front there, which got, maintenance. So it was all screened in with screened in scaffolding. So we say this great big thing that looks like a package wrapped up in tissue paper, and the Supreme Court building's inside of that.
Wow.
But I had one or two like that, but it's really a delightful tour. And if you ever get a chance to check into it, just check American Family Association, or if you get their magazine called The Stand. Mm-hmm. They do a Williamsburg tour and a D.C. tour, I think, twice a year, and they have a historian that goes with them and gives you all of this history. And it's just very, very interesting.
I bet.
And the heat index the day we left was 106.
My goodness.
Yeah. So
now I guess you was in a vehicle that was air conditioned, I guess.
To and from the places, but then you got out and you walked.
Ooh,
and they talk about Capitol Hill. That is a hill.
That's a hill.
It is a hike to get it up there from where you have to park the vans and the vehicles.
Now the Lincoln Memorial's there too, right?
Yeah.
Right?
The Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, and the Korean War Memorial, all in the same general area.
Yeah.
As was a severe thunderstorm that came through there.
No boy.
Had some 50-mile-an-hour gusts of wind, split a few trees and knocked a bunch of limbs off.
Mm.
And
you weren't out in the middle of it, right?
No, I wasn't. My wife was there. She'd gone over to the Vietnam Memorial. I just had, pulled something in my back or something.
Uh-oh.
So wasn't where I could take a long hike like that.
Yeah.
I think it took me 15 minutes to hobble down there, 15 minutes to hobble back. And I'm really grateful they have a ramp going up to the Lincoln Memorial. It's about a gazillion steps going up to that thing.
Ramps are nice.
Ramps are nice.
I've noticed during my older chasing that the ramps is a lot nicer than the steps.
It is, and then the folks that are in the wheelchairs too.
Makes it
a couple of situations like that.
Lady
busted a foot. He was with us.
They
had really two vans. They had 112 people in this group.
Yeah. Talking about the heat, when we first started off talking about the heat, I saw something on Facebook yesterday which kind of made me laugh. See, could you imagine shoveling snow in this heat? That'd be rough.
Moving right along. Right along.
Yeah.
I have a little headline I saw this morning in regard to the off again, on again ceasefire between Iran and Israel, which was announced. And then, for those of you who wonder why they say it was going to take effect at a certain time, there were already aircraft en route from Israel to strike, and there was no way to call them back.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go. So they cut it off when all those guys have been done. And after that point, it was going to be the ceasefire. But General Eisenhower made a comment once in the situation that he encountered that was supposed to be something stopped and somebody went ahead and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, always some so-and-so that doesn't get the word. Well, apparently somebody in Iran didn't get the word and launched a missile.
Mm.
And Israel didn't like that very much. They launched a bunch of airplanes to go over and take care of that site.
Yeah.
So there's a little hiccups here and there with it. But
yeah.
An Iran senior military advisor was quoted as saying, we must chop off Trump's hand, slit Netanyahu's throat, and annihilate Israel. So that's some uphill work to be done in getting that sorted out.
Oh, yeah, very much
but,
so.
But I've got one here for the you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you know, the fact of life is that, you know, some Christian denominations are more liberal as a denomination than others.
Yes.
Now, within individual churches, it varies because individual churches are such. But I'm going to identify a denominational group, but realize it's just this particular person that was this particular pastor is responsible for this statement. A minister identified as being part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which is commonly described as a liberal organization and by the Christian community, has publicly rebuked the Bible's call to share the good news with others. Publicly. And she said this. I said, yes, she. There are people who are perfectly happy in other faiths who don't need conversion to ours. They're happy. Well,
I'm glad they're happy.
She had a video posted on social media and by a group called Protestia, which it says monitors theological mischief makers. Yeah. That's not mischief. That's past mischief.
Yeah, that's way past
the
mischief.
The pastor identified as being part of the ELCA openly rejects the Great Commission, and the report said, we who are in kind of progressive church circles don't tend to be real excited about the idea of running out and telling other people to change because of Jesus. Now, that is a quote from the lady pastor. That refutes one of the basic teachings of the Bible, often stated and repeated by Jesus himself. Well, now, that's some authority, yeah.
Yeah.
That no one reaches the Father or heaven without going through Jesus.
There you go.
So it doesn't matter if you're happy here in something else. According to the Great Commission in the Bible, all authority in heaven and on earth, that's all authority, has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That O word shows up a lot in the Gospels.
Yeah, obey.
They had another, they got a website called Not the Bee to differentiate itself from the Babylon Bee, which is a satirical site. They said, I mean, it's one thing to get the finer points of Christianity wrong. It's another thing to do what this lady does and get the entire religion completely wrong. The preacher rambles on about what comes out of the better part of my brain. That might be questionable. She has learned. And I'm quoting her now. Other people are beloved by God and have God in them and in their lives and speaking to them too. And we discover that whether God wants what God means. So I don't intend to do a lot of running out and telling other people to change their hearts and their lives.
Now
in addition to being incoherent sentence, that wasn't me. That's the way it reads.
Yes.
It flies in the face of basic Christianity. She also, quoting the report here, rants about colonialism and the evils of making uncivilized people civilized and clothing the naked savages. I don't really want everybody running around with no clothes on.
No.
So clothing the naked savages is, it goes back to the old thing from the Enlightenment period when they had the concept of the noble savage. The savages were more noble. Then folks started finding that some of these noble savages were eating the missionaries, and they thought, well, maybe they're not quite as noble yet.
Yeah.
Bible makes it clear that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In Acts, it says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven in which we must be saved. But this lady says, nah, you don't need to do that.
Interesting.
Been interesting, yes. So just to remind, there are those who are formally educated. If you're a minister in a Lutheran church, you have been to seminary. You know, you've studied the languages and all this other, and to come up and say, "Well, I go into a deeper part of my brain and I find out, well, we don't really need to go bother people. If they're okay where they are, let them alone."
It's crazy.
That's just a new way of saying go to blazes. You know,
that's crazy.
Let them go. Let them die and go to hell. We don't care as long as they're happy while they're here.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope it's a very small congregation, and if it isn't, it should be by now.
Well, sure.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In the Peanuts comic strip, we find Snoopy thinking to himself, yesterday I was a dog. Today I'm a dog. Tomorrow, I'll probably still be a dog. Oh, there's so little hope for advancement. Well, there is hope for those who have a dog's life, but the change will require them to make a choice. Regardless of why our life is the way it is today, where it goes from here is primarily up to us. We can wake up tomorrow to another dog's day, or we can ask the Lord to help us make some changes both inside and out. If you know Christ, the old is gone, and the new person is being changed in Christ. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
24/7 missionary radio. And we're back with the front porch. Of course, like I mentioned, Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. And nice warm day today.
Nice warm day. Had the Bible collection.
Yes.
Thing, you understand that went quite well.
Very well. A total of 748 Bibles.
Or the given or made possible.
Well, that's all.
In other words, the Bibles themselves as well as those who donated so that they could,
yes.
They got a special
yes.
rate that the outfit can get to purchase a Bible.
Yes.
So
yes.
The Word of God is going out in spite of what crazy woman preacher said.
That's right. The Word of God is going out.
That's it.
But, you know, Jim, you know, when we talk about stuff like that, we're seeing more and more of that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing is people are following people like that.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, and I've mentioned it before, this is where discernment comes in, to know, you know, who you're following and who you're taking, you know, your guidance through as far as, you know, your pastor or whatever. You need to know what they're doing and what they're preaching is correct and from the Bible.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But we're seeing so much false stuff now.
We are. Well, this I just discovered this, what this really means. Nobody discovered it until me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really mean what it clearly says. It means something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's right.
And pulling things out of context, too.
Oh, gosh.
There's a proverb that has one line that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you read that in context, it's talking about somebody that invites you to a banquet, he's hosting a banquet, and he has an ulterior motive. They're talking about that guy, not you.
Uh-huh.
Read it, you got to read them in context. That's why when I give a scripture reference, most of the time I'll just say, you know, the book and the chapter.
Yeah.
And you go find a verse, because that way you'll get it in context.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, I might have made a mistake.
That's true.
It has been known to happen.
Well, we all make mistakes.
Yeah. Speaking of mistakes, here's a fellow did one. He decided to shoot up a church on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's up in Wayne, Michigan, so he can relax a little bit. But it's a gunman. He rammed a pickup truck into a church. It's on Sunday service. Started shooting. Didn't last long. He was still run over by one of the deacons in his truck, and the security guard shot the guy and killed him.
Mm.
So that's the children were present. A lot of casualties. So they, you know, were hit by the thing. But here's the comments that this person reported it made. Says, Christianity is under attack. Anyone saying otherwise is lying. You know, you see on the movies and TVs when you have the criminal goes into a confessional at a Roman Catholic church, and he confesses to the priest.
Yeah.
And then the police come to the priest, and the priest has what they call the sanctity, I think it is, of the confessional.
Yeah.
He is bound by his oath as a Roman Catholic priest not to reveal anything that was revealed to him in confession.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the state of Washington, D.C., Washington State, is trying to pass a law requiring them to violate that oath. Or,
really?
You know, turn you contempt or jail time or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to get very far.
No.
But the fact that he even did that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you can agree or disagree with the concept,
mm-hmm.
but the fact is that he still is getting into telling the church how you must behave in a way that suits us. Which is what happened in Germany during World War II. It's what's happened in China and in Russia with the, you know, they had to have a specific church would be recognized. And the Russian Orthodox Church during the Stalin era was, in essence, an agent of the KGB or the NKVD, as it was then.
Yeah.
Secret police.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just got to watch stuff like that and catch it early.
You got to. Yeah.
Anyway, so good for the security guard and the alert deacon. I'm not sure. You know, how the guy rams his truck into the church, the guy starts shooting, but somehow he's out there where the deacon's in, and he's in his F-150, and away he goes, too. I don't know if it's F-150 or not. he knocks that guy down. He gets back up again. He did shoot. The security guard got shot in the leg.
Yeah.
But the other guy got shot in the dead.
That's it.
So,
yeah.
I'm not going to give his name because he doesn't deserve the publicity. But it was about 11 o'clock Sunday morning.
Yeah, I had it up in the Detroit area. Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Our church, we mentioned something about that, and I was like, you know, first thing you think you're in a safe place when you go to church. But, you know, Jim, we never know nowadays.
We don't. Well, a bunch of years back, there's a church down in Texas that was shot up. And the daughter of our youth minister at the time was on staff in that church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it happens that she was not in that particular building at the time where the shooting was taking place.
Yeah.
Anyway, and sometimes we had a couple of occasions where somebody would come in, and initially the congregation thought it was part of a, you know, a drill or something like that.
Sure, sure.
And then, but I think that shooter was taken out too.
I believe so, if I remember correctly.
Got dead.
Yeah.
But so again, just realize there are still threats. I mean, we're not
absolutely
the kind of pressure they are in many other parts of the world.
Absolutely.
You know, Christians are some in Nigeria and a few other places in that area of Africa. It's almost like a hunting season out.
Oh yeah.
And they're you know, kill Christians by the tens and dozens.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So just that being be alert.
Be alert.
If something looks odd, you know, if you know who the security people are in your church, and if you don't have a security team, then get they have training courses available.
Yes.
To train the folks how to handle it. We've had a few instances in our church, primarily non-custodial parents, and the I think of only one occasion when we actually had to call the police in, and they just the guy that went in and sat, we encountered one of our children's workers. They said, well, got to check, go and have a seat. We'll have to go through procedures.
Yeah.
He went and sat down. One of our stronger and more muscular security people sat up there or so behind him, kept his eye on him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Police drove up very quietly, and we tapped the guy and brought him out and put him in handcuffs and took him off and explained to him, you can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But so it's not always a violent thing. Quite often it's just handled discreetly.
That's it.
But there is a thing. We are needing to do that because the respect that normally was held is not there anymore, and it's time for Pen from the Heart.
It is. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, I'm praying for God's provision through the summer slump. He has always been faithful and good and always will be. Thank you all for your faithfulness and service, or serving, that is. Missionary Radio is a huge blessing to me and many. From a Madisonville listener, I'm thankful for your uplifting ministry. You are a blessing to me. From Tennessee Ridge, I'm always thankful for Missionary Radio. God bless. And from Clarksville, great job spreading God's word.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
All right, that is a very important thing you just mentioned about being 100% listener-funded.
Yes, it is.
You know, folks, oh, you're asking for money? I said, well, every program you hear, syndicated program, every day asks for money. So every couple of hours, somebody's asking for money.
Yes.
You know, Missionary Radio does a big push twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they will remind you because, as the little announcement says, especially I always hear it between Dr. Cook and Dr. Lutzer in the mornings.
Yeah.
It points out your contributions, your financial contributions, your checks, your money orders, your direct transfer type thing, however you want to work it out. That's what makes those programs possible because they don't pay us anything.
Nope.
To be on the most stations, they have to either purchase the time, or if it's a non-commercial station, then they can make some sort of return.
That's right.
Type thing.
That's right.
We don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Any donation you send to any of the ministries that we carry goes to them. goes 100%
to them.
Of it.
That's right. And I believe I've heard Ken mention that there's only a few that send back to us.
Yeah, I think the most we ever had was about five or six.
Yeah.
And then it's $25 a month. Some will do a portion of what comes up there.
Sure.
But that's strictly a voluntary thing.
And yeah, they don't have to.
They don't. And we make that very clear to them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one administrator says, "You don't have to do that." And he says, "It is what we do."
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if that's what you do,
yeah, but
then that's all right.
And one thing, too, don't get the idea that, well, I just can't send but very much. We have never been able to do anything big or small that didn't, you know, we didn't get enough large contributions or small contributions
True.
To do it. It mm-hmm. takes everybody. Some yes. can do a lot, some can't. But you do what you can. And if you're in a situation where you absolutely can't, then you can pray.
That's it.
But that those who can will be able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And God's kept us going these 40-some-odd years.
Yeah.
After they told us we'd last 6 weeks to 6 months, depending on how, you know, charitable folks were being.
Yeah.
And we went our first year, a year of broadcasting before we had our first fundraiser.
Really?
Well, if you want somebody to buy your cabbages, you got to show them your cabbages.
That's true. That's
so
true.
There was another station like this in the area, and we just thought if folks, we're asking folks to support it, we ought to let them know, you know, what they did. Now, we had some folks that were supporting us and got behind us and helped us out.
Sure, sure.
But we did not do a public appeal for the first year.
Yeah.
And one of the things we discovered since our anniversary is in August is that's not a good month to have a fundraiser.
Boy, that's a hot time of the year.
But to do that. Okay, I'm going to shift something over a little bit, kind of sad. Michael Tate.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that the Newsboys.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally admitted he was living a double life. Not the same person on stage Sunday night he was at home on Monday. Drug and alcohol abuse, non-consensual homosexual activity. Just really bad stuff. But, and he said, you know, his actions tarnished the evangelical witness and grieved God.
Mm-hmm.
He is pursuing healing. He's going through, you know, some, recovery things he's going through. But there's a interesting article that came out pointing out the lessons that we need to learn from that. One of them, of course, is you don't sit there and stare at him real hard because at some point you're going to realize you might. Anyway, number one, you can't hide your sin.
Nope.
Proverbs 28 has a line, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. In Numbers 20:32, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. In Luke 8, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Well, you get the idea.
Yes.
That's not a harsh reprimand. It's a call to awareness. Be mm-hmm. aware. You know, sin sneaks up on you.
That's right.
It's not. It seems harmless. And it may show up later, and if it doesn't do anything else, it'll show up on the day of judgment.
That's right.
So no one escapes the weight of secret sins. And the longer you cling to it, the deeper the devastation. And mm-hmm. that's what he was discovering. Number two, repentance is key. Repentance doesn't mean being sorry. Repentance is godly sorrow. No, godly sorrow is part of the process, but that's remorse,
mm-hmm.
which is necessary. It's also part of the process. Repentance is stopping what you're doing. And it takes more than one shot a lot of times.
That's it. Yeah.
And I know guys came and said, I swore I was never going to do that again, and I did it. You know,
and did it again.
Take a drink or smoking weed or whatever else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First John 1:9. Confess our sins. That's action. Confession isn't optional. Confession to God. That's the one that counts for score. It's a divine mandate. It's part of the faith. It's not just words. It's actively turning away. Reordering ourselves, and it takes some doing. But it unlocks God's faithfulness, and it helps. And it's a linchpin.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Tate refused to repent for a long time, and then if he had kept on it, he would have gotten even worse off. It would have been more devastation with the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are folks who will be reluctant to forgive him because he was on a pedestal of sorts, and he disappointed them.
Sure.
And we don't do well with folks who in important positions that disappoint. Number three, and this is God truly forgives.
Yes, he does.
Repentance is our first calling. The second, believe that God will forgive you. People may
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control that.
Well, that's the thing, Jim. The thing is, Michael there, he's committed many, many sins. But I think one of the main things that I really appreciate him doing is actually coming out and say, yes, I
yeah.
am guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I've done those things. And he's asking for forgiveness from, you know, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like you said, the Christian world is sometimes so harsh that they don't want to forgive.
Sometimes we are being described as the only group that shoots its wounded.
Yeah, that's it. And the thing is, we're supposed to forgive too.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you condone what happened.
No, you don't condone it.
It doesn't mean if somebody's done something wicked to you like that, that you have to let them do it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, forgiving it, and I forgive and I forget. Well, point one, we don't do a good job of forgetting.
That's the thing.
And you got to remember, God doesn't forget. God does not have some kind of celestial Alzheimer's that he puts it aside. It's no longer a factor.
Yeah.
But God, I did this. That's no longer a factor. Jesus, blood cut, Jesus paid for that.
Yep.
You're free from that.
Yep.
God truly forgives.
Yes,
and
he does.
In Micah 7, they have, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression for the remnant, I'll get it out, of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. Isaiah 55, let us the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And here's the other biggie, too. I guess no one is immune to sin. There was a broadcast one time. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing I know for sure. I'll never cheat on my wife.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, actually worked it, said, he better be careful.
Mm-hmm.
He may not, but he may find himself right in the throes of temptation if he's not careful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to sit down there and challenge the devil like that, you know, It's not really, but no one's immune. It goes, you know, past Michael Tate. What happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get in prominent positions, you get fatigued, you get tired.
Yeah.
You're weak. You need to know what times you are physically or otherwise weak. You're weakened.
Yeah.
Guard against bitterness.
Yeah.
Don't let your righteous anger turn into bitterness. Resist fear. Don't be afraid. If you see a public figure stumble, realize, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do that, what you're doing, and I could, you know, fall into that too. Be aware of temptation. Resist pride. That's the biggie. Well, I'll never do that. Well, what are you going to do then?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll do something else. Maybe you're doing something else already. You don't realize how dangerous it is.
That's right.
You know, back when I had video stores, there was a young evangelical. I kind of had more trouble.
That's all right.
And a mind is going faster than my tongue. Evangelist, and he was looking, renting a video that he thought was pretty good. It was a PG something or other.
Yeah.
And he saw one of his young people, you are renting that video? I don't know how he dug himself out of that hole.
Yeah.
But 1 Corinthians 10 says, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So when we do that, what do? We remember that we are but humans.
That's right.
And be aware.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go someplace where there's going to be temptation, maybe you've had a problem with alcohol and you're going to a party, you know they're going to be, or something you've got to go to for business, you know folks are going to be drinking.
That's right.
Prepare yourself to be tempted. Somebody will offer you one and say, thanks, no.
That's right. That's right.
And make sure that if you're carrying a drink, you got your Coca-Cola or whatever in a can.
Yeah.
Because otherwise folks will take a picture of you and post it on social media.
That's right.
My apologies to Johnny. It's ate up almost two of her minutes.
Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
We've got a great song from Johnny today for your journey with Jesus.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Who can doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Oh, if ever there were a song to sing as you walk beside Jesus each day, as you ask the Savior to guide you and lead your steps, this one's it. And when I sing this beautiful old hymn, I see myself ambling alongside Jesus on a dusty road, maybe somewhere in Judea. He leads me beside still waters and paths of righteousness. Sometimes I picture the Lord leading me, beckoning me up on a hillside where he preaches a sermon. Sit here, Johnny, I'll hear him say. and then I will open up the Bible and read what it is he has to say to me. The other evening, it was the Beatitudes, and I pictured myself sitting on a rock on that hillside, listening as Jesus preached to thousands, and, well, to me too. And I listened hard because I know he's talking to me. Those Beatitudes are meant for me, and for you too. You're probably familiar with those Beatitudes of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who hunger and weep." Now, if you listen hard, as I was doing the other evening, you cannot help but notice that Jesus keeps connecting blessings here with poverty and trials and hardships. Doesn't that strike you as odd? I mean, usually we think of blessings as material prosperity or comfortable circumstances. We think blessings are bountiful provisions and money in the bank, things that have to do with what we can see and feel and touch, things that satisfy our flesh and our earthly wants and wishes. But Scripture, it always paints a different picture, doesn't it? Jesus thinks that blessings are tribulations and hardships. Hardships that join us in a deeper faith to Him. That's the real blessing. Through trials, through disappointments, through grief, we enjoy a sweeter, richer fellowship with Him. And money does not bring that. And neither does perfect health or a beautiful home. Rather, Jesus says, "Blessed are you if you are poor in spirit." In other words, blessed are you if your trials force you to come to me in empty-handed spiritual poverty, needing my grace, needing my provision, needing my help and my comfort. These are the things that bind us to our Savior.
So today, friend, let the Savior lead you all the way. And if you're enduring a hard trial, hold fast to James chapter 1. Blessed. Did you hear that? Blessed are you if you persevere under trial. And the blessing? It's a richer relationship with Jesus. That's the road your Savior will lead you on each and every time.
Cuba.
This is the biggest demonstration in Cuba's history. Almost a million people are here. There is Fidel Castro, the leader.
Cuba then became a one-party, communist and atheist state.
When the revolution took over in 59, things becomes bad to the churches.
But today, this longtime Cuban pastor sees hope.
We really think that this is our time to reach our country. Now people are willing to listen to the gospel.
Cuba needs Jesus. Cuba needs you. You can be part of something really big. Join TWR in taking the good news of Jesus into Cuba every night by radio.
Radio waves can reach everywhere. Any Cuban could listen to the gospel.
Partner today with TWR.
Join us for Cuba Needs Jesus July 14th and 15th on Missionary Radio. Our Lord Jesus made it clear what our mission is. He said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." One tool we have to get that done in our area is Missionary Radio, and worldwide in our partnership with TWR. I've heard for years how much you appreciate the fact that we're 100% funded by you, our listening partners. You are our only resource, and we believe by our faith in the Lord, you will respond, and that pleases the Lord. Right now, giving is extremely low, and we could use your kindness and help. Go online to missionary.radio, click on donate, and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System, or send your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241. Together, we're 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Okay, we've got to Matthew chapter 7. You're going to read a few verses for us there.
All right. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And when I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
All right, that's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the James Montgomery Boyce little devotional book called Come to the Waters. Boyce writes, Jesus contrasts those who profess to follow Jesus. They call him Lord, Lord, and yet do not do what God requires. And those, contrast implied, who do the will of God and therefore prove their discipleship is genuine. This contrast describes hypocrisy. It is professing faith in Jesus Christ while actually rejecting or disobeying him. Two important matters are worth noting. Number one, this person has the right doctrines. He calls Jesus Lord, Lord, confessing Jesus' deity and professing that he is his master, but he is not following Jesus as his master. There were times in Jesus' ministry when people called him Lord, meaning perhaps no more than Sir. Lord was a title of respect. But here, a great deal more is involved, for it is Jesus who is speaking, and he is using the word with the richest possible meaning. In the Old Testament, Lord is usually translated Jehovah, a name for God. In the New Testament settings, the equivalent word is Kyrios, the title by which the citizens of the Roman Empire address the emperor as a god. What Jesus is saying is there will be people in the church who will confess his divinity, but who will not be saved. They will be on the expansive road to hell. Can that really be? Certainly it can. A person can sit in the pews of a church for years firmly believing that Jesus is God, that he died on the cross for sin, and even that he's returning one day to judge the world, and yet never have come to the point of actually trusting in that same Jesus Christ as his Savior. Number two, this person has prophesied and done miracles. Jesus declared on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Jesus does not deny they did miracles. He accepts their profession as a fact, but, there's that word again, he also does not deny their self-deception. Their hypocrisy has escalated to a point in which they actually have fooled themselves. They believe in their deceptions, but neither eloquent teaching nor miracles may prove one is the true disciples, and these persons are exposed as workers of lawlessness. These apparent Christians are not condemned because their teaching was wrong or their miracles were spurious, but because they did not practice what they preached. They were bearing bad fruit, and even when they were professing to be good. So beware, especially if you sense you are a nominal Christian only. There are many paths to hell, many of them religious, but only one way to heaven, and that is through trusting in Jesus Christ. I just read recently a devotional, and he pointed out along the same lines that the people who are running up to Jesus saying this, they're running to him with delight, with joy. They're excited. You're back, and look at all this stuff I did. And he says, hey,
yeah,
work of iniquity. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
If you'd go to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. But this the reason I pull that one out there, we just talked about Michael Tate. Michael Tate apparently has come under repentance and realized that he was saying one thing but not manifesting it. He was one of those that Jesus would have called at that situation a worker of iniquity.
Yeah.
But he is apparently, you know, in the process of repentance and realizing the reality that what he's been singing and saying about, there's a reality there beyond what just knowing the head knowledge.
That's right.
You got it?
John chapter 13, you said where at now?
1 through 5.
1 through 5, okay. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water to a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, you are washing my feet? You said you would go through six?
Fine.
Oh, through five. I'm sorry. I went a little longer.
Well, this is from J.C. Ryle here. He said, let us observe how death is spoken of here. He is taking a journey, going from one place to another. In the case of our Lord, it was a return to his Father's house and a going home after finishing the work he came to do. So a believer's death in a lower sense is going home. Calvin observes this definition of death belongs to the whole body of the church. It is to the saints a passage to the Father, an inlet to eternal life. It is written, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. That meaning of this is always seems to be having always loved his own disciples. And having given many proofs of his singular affection, he now, before leaving them alone like orphans in the world, gave one more striking proof of his love by washing their feet, and thus on the last evening before his death, showed he loved them to the very end of his ministry and was not weary of them. He knew perfectly well they were going to forsake him and act like cowards, but that did not prevent him from loving them with all their weakness to the very end. He knew perfectly that he was about to suffer within 24 hours, but the knowledge and foresight of that did not absorb his thoughts so as to make him forget his little flock of followers. The expression his own applied to believers is very noteworthy. They are Christ's peculiar property given to him by the Father and his own special care as members of his body. The expressions which were in the world is another great depth. Believers are not in heaven yet and find it out to their cost. They are in a cold, unkind, persecuting world. Let them take comfort in the thought that Jesus knows and remembers it. I know thy works where thou dwellest, in Revelation 2. A little comment down here, Christ remains faithful when we are faltering and failing. That is just exactly what seems to be happening with Michael Tate.
Yeah.
And it can happen. He was thought he was doing right. He was doing all the right stuff, singing the right songs, writing the right songs,
mm-hmm.
presenting them well.
Yep.
But there was this other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. God did not let him alone.
That's
and
right.
finally brought him to the point of saying, this must not be. And it's before, it wasn't at this time of judgment, but it was now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus will work with his people. He loves you. He wants you to stop doing what's wrong.
Absolutely.
He doesn't want you to be one of those people that runs up to him when he returns and says, Lord, look at, I'm here. I'm so glad to see you. I'm here. Look at all this stuff I did for you. In your name, look at all this stuff. And he looked at him and says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You may have known about me, but I never knew you.
That's right.
And this is the kind of thing, if you've got unsaved friends, loved ones, or you know, curious about your own situation,
mm-hmm.
take a look at it.
Yep.
And don't think, you're worn out and you're tired and depressed. That's not the best time to do that.
Mm-mm.
But sometimes when you're clear-headed, just sit and think, do I really believe this? Or am I doing it because it's what you're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, I'm sure Brian and I have both gone through times like that where you wonder,
sure.
But just remember, the example so far with Michael Tate and others we can call to mind, who are acknowledging that I was living a double life. I've got to quit doing that.
That's right.
I've got to, Jesus wants people to be Lord. He wants me cleansed of this thing, cleansed of unrighteousness. That's why he died. That make it possible for us to be with him for all of eternity. And if that's what we really want, it's made a way. And speaking of way, it's about time for me to get out of the way for the news.
All right.
God bless you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning.